The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Well, hi, honey. I feel like I just saw you.
Yes, like a day ago. And I feel like, you know, we have a lot to talk about, and the Derby was amazing. But we've kind of bombarded you on that with our Instagram, and hopefully you all watched and saw us. So let's move on to other things.
Yeah. So one thing that I'd like to talk about and really vent about is ice skating.
Okay. Just start it off. I feel like you've
been like, I want to get into this.
Chomping at the bit to go with this.
Yeah. So guys, as you know, when we were at the Olympics, we were there as commentators, and I had nary a moment to go and practice ice skating. And then since we've been home, I have been so busy and traveling so much that finding time to actually practice and prepare for things has become really hard and almost like a house of cards. So if I'm home and I've got, you know, 30 minutes of ice at nighttime and it starts at 1:30 in the morning, that's when I have to go skate because that's the only time I'll have for the next 6 to 7 days. And then all of a sudden you'll be in front of 10,000 people shaking your butt and having not prepared or trained and being out of shape and the whole thing. So recently, I went to Tokyo to perform in this. It was a performance. It's called Continues with Wings. It was a special show for Yuzuru Hanyu, the Japanese men's Olympic champion. Now, two-time Olympic champion. And it was a really, really tall order because Tara and I had just come off of the Food Network show that we were hosting. And there had been, I trained maybe 6 days between the Olympics and when I left for that show. And even as a professional, you really do have to prepare. And I mean, Tara, you were a nut job when you were on tour. Like, you would still practice fully with all your jumps.
Triple triples. I was a nut, Johnny. One year, they used to keep like a running tab. It was like 2002 maybe, or 2001. I used to do 12 triples a night. Which
per show.
Per show.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do 5 shows a week. Like, that was silly. Or double shows.
No wonder your hips stopped working.
Well, no, that was after I fixed my hip. Thank goodness. If I tried that before, I probably just would have bambied it. And like, people would have to pick me up every night.
So, tra-la-la. So,
and she's being swept off the ice once again.
And get the sling. I had this show, and Yuzuru's show was beautiful, and they sold 25,000 in-house seats in 5 to 10 minutes on the internet.
That's amazing.
And then they were showing it on 66 theaters, like movie theaters. They were showing it live and paid admission, tickets, the whole thing, 66 theaters across Japan, plus live television and internet streaming. Now, that's really daunting as far as an audience is concerned because it's so big. And then there I am as sort of a prized member of Yuzuru's, you know, inspiration board. So he only invited people that he had a special connection with or that he loved or that were his idols. And it was his dream to create this show where his favorite skaters all skated. So it was a really small cast. It was like 8 of us. And when you skate for Yuzuru Hanyu, you got to bring it, especially when you're in Japan. And I had not trained enough to really bring anything. So it had been a while since I'd been on the ice in front of people, and I practiced as much as I could, honestly, with my schedule. And it was really scary going over because Japan has a really knowledgeable skating audience, and they know when you do a double versus a triple, mm-hmm. and they know how hard each jump is, and, you know, they'll clap for you for falling. But if you go out there and you don't even try, they aren't very impressed. So I still wanted to try. So the first number of the first show, I brought back Beyonce from a couple of years ago, and really I get out there and it's a lot of voguing and posing and dancing, and it's fun, and I love doing it, and I wear essentially a Teletubby costume to perform it. So there was enough with the voice of Bey and the costuming and, you know, just my dance moves, I thought, to get me through the performance. Mm-hmm. In this program, there are 3 jumps. One of them is a double axel, And two of them are triple toe loops, which is the easiest triple there is, guys. I opened the program with a double toe loop. I popped my first jump. And then, because I was nervous, when you haven't skated for a while and then you're out in front of an audience like that, it's nerve-wracking. It's hard, especially when you know you're not in shape. And when I say I'm overweight, for me, I'm overweight. It's not like I need to be cataloged in a doctor's book as an obese human sitting on the side of the street. But, you know, I am big for me. And to twirl and spin, it's hard. And just not being in shape. Anyway, I doubled the first jump. The second jump was another triple toe loop. And it's still when I had a little bit of energy and a little bit of wind in my lungs. And I went up into the air again. And I felt my body start to pop again and do two revolutions instead of three. And I said, hell no, bitch, you're not popping again. So I pulled in and I only got around about 2.5 times. And then I hit the ice and had to jump the rest of the revolution. So you would have been really proud. I look like a gymnast landing a backflip.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sorry if this is annoying to some of you non-skaters who can't quite get it. But all of you that are skate fans or skaters that are listening, you'll understand what that feels like. It's just you feel awful. And then I thought, you know what, Johnny, let's stop while you're ahead. So I said, take out the last jump and just sail through the end of this program. Dance, go big with your arm movements, go like real big with your face. And like, meanwhile, Plushenko was there and he was in fighting form. World champion Jeffrey Buttle from Canada. He's on the ice constantly because he's a choreographer and a coach and he was in good shape. And then there's me, like fat mommy, the rest of them. Like the amount of times the other cast members poked my stomach was really, it's enough to send you into a spiral. Anyway. I said, Johnny, don't jump again. Just like get through this, your first performance in front of people since like January. Just have fun. So I took out the last jump, which was the double axel, the easiest one. And then I started to wind up for the dance break when Crazy in Love starts. And you know, you got to dance hard and dance wide for Crazy in Love. And I backed up to the audience. I made like a very divalicious face at them. They all screamed and clapped. And then there I was in a standstill starting the step sequence, which basically is three steps and real simple.
Right.
All of a sudden, speaking of Bambi, flat on my ass I go, sliding on my back across the center ice with my legs somehow up over my head. So I was just sliding across the ice completely upside down, having fallen on these steps because I was so tired and gasping for wind that I didn't have the same energy that I thought I had.
Right.
So that's how the first show went. And then the rest of them got slightly better as I went along. But skating right now is real hard and a real tall order. And now I'm in the position where you and I are busy. I'm busy on my own. And finding time to skate is getting harder and harder. And I have to go to Japan again in like 2 weeks. And I'm real scared.
It's going to be okay.
I don't know what to do with myself. I know that story wasn't as impactful as I meant
it
to be.
No, but you needed some therapy. You needed to get it out. And I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, before the shows in Japan, my management and my mom and everyone was like, you're a treasure. They're going to love you. Don't you worry. Like, they were giving me the full-on, like, coach and mommy speeches from yesteryear.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I skated that first show and it was terrible and I fell and I felt really bad about myself. Like, I know I'm not an Olympic level skater right now.
But they didn't really care, you know?
But they, you know what? They clapped and everything, but I just felt awful about myself and I called them immediately. And as soon as I said how terrible I'd been, and this is after a week of them sort of building me up, saying, you can do this, don't pull out, you can get through these shows, don't worry, they're going to love you, you're a national and a world treasure. Then mommy says, well, I told you this was going to happen. As soon as I called her. Well, Johnny, you didn't work. You know what? You were out there in LA, and I know you were working 14-hour days, but you should have gone and skated after.
Yeah. That's why there comes a certain time, you know, where it's just hard to juggle two careers.
Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen? I'm bringing back some oldies for this summer. You remember last summer I had the collaboration with the one Japanese singer singing Amazing Grace. I've avoided a situation like that this year. However, I do have a Japanese language song I'll be skating to. I'm skating to the Swan, which is an old program of mine, live violinist. It's going to be beautiful. But still, I have no time to prepare. So stay tuned, guys.
Talking about skating, can we go into a little bit of a debate issue? I know that not all of our listeners are skating fans, but I read this article. We haven't even talked about this, but I'd love your – I feel like we could probably get into it a little bit. So I read,
is it about LeBron at all?
No. I mean, everything should be about LeBron, but it isn't. but it talks about maybe raising the age limit or, you know, raising the – so – right now, guys, you can be 15 by, what is it, July 1st.
Year before the Olympics.
Exactly.
Or the year before any season, really. You have to be 15 years or older to compete at the world level.
And they kind of – I think I might have been the cause of that because I went to my first Worlds at 13. And I can't remember the year they changed it, but I think it could have been right after – My Olympic season, they changed that rule. You might know better, but I don't know.
I think Tara Lipinski definitely was a precursor in a lot of the current age limitations, and they've tried to find a way. And right now, we've talked about it a lot on TV and on our podcast about how strong Russia is in their ladies division. But guys, there's literally a 12-year-old girl that just won the World Junior Championships, that performed two quads in her free program, two different quads in her free program. She's currently landing quad lutz, which is the hardest quad that's ever been done by any sex of any human. Like Nathan Chen has fallen on it before.
Right.
And like, it's just outrageous the jumps that these people that are doing are
younger. Yeah, I just saw a quad lutz, triple toe, triple loop combination. So it's going to this insane level. And I read this article. I think it was on Ice Network about, you know, some American coaches sort of giving their views of what the age limit should be. And obviously, you know, I have my views, and that could be just from my own experience of being young and being, you know, what people would think, oh, my God, is she too young? Is, you know, should there be a, you know, an age limit that's, you have to be 17 or 18, because that's sort of the discussion. Do they move it to you have to be 18? And I kind of want your view. Obviously, I have my views on this. What is your view on that?
So these American coaches want the skaters to have to be 18 years old to compete at the Olympic level. Is that what it is? I haven't read the article.
So, yeah, there's a few coaches that teach in the States that are saying, it, you know, it'd be nice that they would raise it to say 18. For anyone to compete on a senior international level.
Right. So I am of the school of thought that every person is different. And, you know, for you, for example, I mean, your body hasn't changed that much. But so for younger women, and I mean, I've never been a younger woman myself, so I don't know exactly what it feels like. But just from the outside looking in, bodies can change overnight.
Exactly.
And if you're a really talented skater at 12, 13, 14, 15, doesn't mean that your body's going to hold up well by the time you're 18, 19, 20.
Exactly.
And I think that people generally and honestly will try anything they can to make their skaters more competitive with the skater that's won. That's what sport is all about. And, you know, you were a precursor in this conversation. I mean, the Olympic champion before you was Oksana Bayul, who was also 15. And then
16, right?
She was right there, 15, yeah. 16. And then Sarah Hughes won the Olympics after you. She was 15. Alina Zagitova won this year.
15.
She was 15 years old. And, you know, it's everyone arrives at their own time. I mean, I was at my best when I was 19 years old, which was younger in my career. And the older you get, the harder these things get. And the sport stops progressing. However, if you are the coach of an aging skater and that skater is great, but they can't necessarily compete with a 12-year-old, that's what sport's all about. I don't think it should go under 15 years old.
I don't think it should go under.
At the Olympics.
I'm glad you think that way, because that's sort of how I feel. Because they were saying, you know, oh, like skaters, their bodies change so much and all of this stuff, and it's harder to do it at 18. Agreed. But then it's sort of what, like you said, it's not always the case. I think it's really each skater and their own personal journey and their the time that they peak in their career. Like you said, you could be 19 or you could be 15. And I think, you know, looking at different skaters' bodies Some of them don't change. You look at like a Sasha Cohen, Christy Yamaguchi, who won the Olympics. You look at Katia Gordieva, who won the Olympics. If you look at them now, their body really never changed. It was always so, I always thought it was so funny when I went on tour on Stars on Ice with all these incredible skaters, and we all were the same height and size. You know, we all were 5'1". We all had a certain body type that didn't change. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that saying, oh, your body's going to change at 18 and you can't do the same things, and maybe that makes it unfair because you have a different body at 15. But I don't think that's the case either. I think you can sort of have, I mean, Sasha Cohen came back in 2010. Wasn't it for her? She was going to try to make a comeback at that.
Yes, for the Vancouver Olympics.
And it's not like her body had changed that much. From when she was younger. I don't know. It's an interesting sort of debate. And in my point of view, it's, you know, these kids are working or giving up their childhoods, are working for these moments. And yeah, if you move the age limit to 18, what happens if at 17 and a half she has an injury? And I know that's just life, but you're sort of kind of controlling someone's future in a way that moving it that drastically in a sport that is a bit younger, the younger ones are pushing and the sport's evolving from them. I think you look at gymnastics, it's the same thing. So I think that would change the sport quite drastically.
Right. And guys, not to say that, you know, everyone shouldn't try figure skating and that everyone it's impossible for anyone who doesn't have the right body type to be great at figure skating. There is a pretty across the board body standard in any sport to be great at it. I mean, for example, I wouldn't be a great football player if I was a defensive tackle because I am not big. I am weak in many ways compared to those football guys. But, you know, the sports have a really interesting way of weeding out the people that aren't really, you know, built for that sport. Figure skating is really rigorous on your body. The smaller you are, the faster you spin. I mean, it's just
scientific.
Yeah, I mean, height scientific.
Has, I mean, there's not a lot of 6 foot, you know, ladies skating.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I mean,
you look at Carolina Costner, though. That's what
I was
saying.
Going to say. Her body hasn't changed at all since she was 16 years old competing in the Olympics.
Exactly.
You know?
And she's taller. So it's really like it's like a personal journey for that skater and when they will peak and when they'll be at their best. And I think, you know, trying to control an age is, I mean, even look at someone like Carolina Costner, which I think a lot of these coaches would be like, this is what we want more of, you know, a woman on the ice skating maybe at 28 years old. And that's our goal. But what happens if you changed her like career path? And when she was 18 or 16, she was, you know, pretty much banned from senior competition. I think that could have changed her path as well. I mean, she had so much experience by the time she's reached, you know, her last two Olympics. Anyways, it could go on and on and on. And I know this gets a little boring for people that don't know what we're talking about. But it was interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, I luckily, when we're in the off season, at least springtime off season, I try not to read anything about ice skating because I get so overwhelmed with all the facts. But, you know, come July and August, when I start preparing for the new NBC season of skating, I will look into all of that. But thanks for putting that out there.
Just wondering your thoughts on it.
Yeah. I mean, we never would have been treated to the greatness of Tara Lipinski winning the Olympic gold medal if there were age restrictions like that. And, you know, we wouldn't have had that incredible rivalry at this past Olympics
exactly.
with Zagitova versus Medvedeva because Zagitova wouldn't have even been in it.
Right.
So and, you know, there's something, sports are a really good portrait of life, and you have to succeed in the moment or there are 100 other people that will succeed instead of you. And whether you're young or old, everyone should have the same opportunity.
Agreed.
I mean, in that case, like someone my age who's still trying to compete and hurting themselves and killing themselves every day to try to compete against a 15-year-old, maybe there should be a restriction on how old you can be as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like age, again, like in sports,
it's a number.
And like anyone, you can't restrict an older skater from continuing. I mean, we would have lost the beauty of Carolina Costner, or you can't really, I think, start moving the age limit to sort of manipulate exactly what you want to produce out of this sport. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, moving on. Mm-hmm. So guys, we are so excited to be in cahoots with Kogo Coco. It's a caffeinated hot chocolate drink that Tara and I both have enjoyed and loved. And now Kogo has decided to be a part of Tara and Johnny, the award-winning podcast, by offering our listeners a very special discounted rate on the exclusive online hot chocolate that is Kogo. Honey, let's talk about it.
It is like the best of all worlds. You know me, I love my sweets. So you're getting this like rich, and nothing is too rich for me. So this rich, creamy cocoa, and you're getting caffeine. So you get the same pick-me-up as if you're drinking a cup of coffee. So it's like everything rolled into one.
I've loved drinking Kogo in the morning in place of my regularly scheduled coffee, simply because you get that almost dessert in a cup feeling from it, and it gives you the zip that you need to get your day started. So I'm loving it. Regular hot chocolate is nearly 100% caffeine-free, where Kogo is different, and like you said, honey, it's the same as drinking a full cup of coffee.
Which is incredible. So we have an offer for you guys. Don't forget to use our promo code, which is TNJ, and you'll get 10% off your Kogo order. Now, this offer does end June 30th, 2018, which is right around the corner. So go there now. Go to cogococo.com. That's cogococo.com. And use our promo code.
And that promo code, once again, was TANDJ. And you get that nice percentage off of your order, but get after it fast. But this stuff is so delicious, you're going to be ordering it long after this limited time offer ends. So enjoy. So I went to Ireland and Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, guys, I have to preface this by saying that the entire time I was away, my daughter, Tara Lipinski, was FOMOing and texting through Instagram with Jackie, my bestie Jackie.
I know. I didn't really talk to you. It's funny, but
you went straight to Jackie.
Because I feel like Jackie and I have the same sort of outlook on travel, and we like love like traveling and going new places. So I got real excited. Like, is this somewhere I need to go?
Yeah. So something that I learned on this trip, because it was me, Jackie, and then our friend Rena, who Jackie grew up with and they're besties and I love. And we do this triple travel every April, it seems like now. And when I go on big international trips, I go with these girls because Jackie, first of all, will push me into doing touristy things. Rena is a little bit on my wavelength with the relaxation of a trip and a vacation. And it's very comfortable for me to travel with those girls. Anyway, we chose Ireland and Scotland for this spring. And we like to go places that we haven't really been before. And something that we established this trip was that Jackie is definitely into tourism and is a tourist and loves to go see things, whereas Rena and I are more vacationers. So we like to go away and relax. And considering how my schedule's been, I needed to go relax, but you know how I am and how, well, you are, honestly. Mm-hmm. When it comes to having to relax in the middle of like 90 different jobs, it's really hard to do. So I can't say I really took full advantage of the peacefulness of either Ireland or Scotland, but I had a good time being away with the girls. And we stayed at this really cool haunted old house called the Prestonfield House in Edinburgh. And it was so glamorous. There were peacocks on the property. Each room was decorated in a different way, but really that old school Baroque, you know how mommy loves.
Yes.
That old school style. And we saw some abbeys and some homes and whatever. But then, again, I refer you back to me not being much of a tourist. So when it came to seeing 13 different cathedrals and 13 different scenic overpasses and stuff like that, I start to draw the line and get nasty. I turn into a very, very big curmudgeon when it comes to too much tourism. Yeah. But we had a good time, and
like
it was
Disney
great.
World.
Yeah, like Disney World. I you know what? An hour, great. An artificial joyride, perfect. Let's do it for an hour. But 17 hours of it, girl. So we did that, and now I am, you know, now that we're done with the Derby, I'm just kind of back and preparing for Japan tour because it's the only thing that I have coming up that needs to be super prepared. Where are you and Todd going on vacation?
We don't know. We haven't really thought. I mean, like you said, we've been pretty busy. We haven't thought of it, but I need my next trip.
Yeah. So if you guys have any suggestions for Tara and Todd from Lovers
Lane,
let
us know.
Yeah. Write her on at Tara Lipinski, or you can let me know at Johnny G Weir, or us know at Tara and Johnny.
I like how you put that. Jay, so we have a new partner to the podcast. The company is called Simple Contacts. We both really love the idea of this. We want to tell you about it. So here it goes. So there's probably a million things that are demanding your time, okay? And contact lenses should not be one of them. And that's why we're excited to be part of this. And the process of renewing your eye exam and buying contacts becomes very simple. So tell them, Jay.
If you wear contact lenses and find yourself dreading the annual appointment to renew your eye exam, program, then you're going to love Simple Contacts. It's a great new company that makes this annoying process very, well, simple.
It does, because Simple Contacts pretty much brings the doctor's office to wherever you are, wherever you need it, so you can take your Simple Contacts vision test online in 5 minutes, and guess what? A real doctor reviews it, and within 24 hours, renews your eye exam.
You save time, you save money, and you save yourself a headache. And if you have an unexpired eye exam, just upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and order your lenses in minutes for a great price. They do all the hard work for you. Mm-hmm. This is vision care for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. And we have to mention this, Johnny. It isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You still need to do that occasionally, but it's a really convenient way to renew the eye exam and reorder your contacts. So, guys, you get $30 off at simplecontacts.com/TJ, or just enter the code TJ at checkout. Save time, save money, and guys, go check out Simple Contacts.
And get that $30 off by going to simplecontacts.com/TJ, or just enter TJ at checkout. Give it a try and thank us later. And we're so thankful for Simple Contacts as a new partner of Tara and Johnny, the award-winning podcast. But in the meantime, full speed ahead for both of us. I feel like I am, you know, knee deep in a house that I found that I'm going to do a total renovation on and loving and obsessed with. Tara's looking for a house. Tara's figuring out Lover's Lane. We're just super, super busy.
Busy. Yeah. So on that note, I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. And we're so thankful to all of the trillions of you that listen to our podcast and enjoy it. I mean, it is award winning, and that's primarily because of you guys. And we're so thankful, and we love you. And until next time,
bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.